Hey guys, before we get into this episode, a little warning about the sound quality of this episode. It's not going to be nearly as good as it usually is. We were using Google Talk for this episode, as this was recorded during Black Thursday, as everybody's calling it. Okay, I'm the only one calling it that anyway. Skype was down, so we had to resort to another program. Because of that, Raph was a little high, and I couldn't actually lower him because whenever he tried to lower himself on his setup, well, he was unable to hear us and heard nothing but this weird screech. So it was very, very difficult, but nevertheless, we got it recorded, and well, here it is. It is listenable. I will give it that much. And we were talking about plenty of great stuff in this, so definitely give it a listen. Just a little bit of a warning ahead of time that there are going to be some audio glitches in this. But still, enjoy the episode. It is a lot of fun.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 44 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. Brent Cassina, Raph Zuhu, and myself, the three morons, get back together to discuss a whole lot of stuff about comic books. All the recent news and events and a whole lot more are right here in this episode. And yes, I have trademarked the three morons. Okay, maybe not. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 44 of Comic Timing. Now, I warn you, I don't know how this is going to sound, because we're using Google Talk here, because the great Skype outage of 07 is currently happening, where all of Skype is left unable to talk to each other. So instead, I turn to a hack that you can use in Google Talk, which allows me to use a conference call. So on the phone right now with me is, well, not the phone, on the internet, is Brent Cassina, the co-host, not co-host, co-host. What's going on, Brent?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. What's going on? And we got Raph, of course, the Geeks United co-host. I say co-host because Juan would kill me otherwise. So, what up, Raph?
Chocolate rain.
Oh, God. You know, I actually like vanilla snow.
Vanilla. Yeah, I'm not making a dated reference.
Yeah, no. Vanilla Snow, the parody of Chocolate Rain, is really good.
Because yeah, I've got to check that out.
It's got random lyrics that have nothing to do with anything.
You mean like Chocolate Rain?
Yeah. For example, one of the lyrics, no joke, Vanilla Snow, Barry Zito, colonoscopy.
Oh my god. This is where the episode's going.
Yeah, this is where this episode's going. We were going to have a DC animation talk, but we're going to save that for Vidara, so hopefully next week we'll be able to get that done. So until then, let's just talk about the events that have been happening all week. That'll include Wizard World Chicago later on. We'll talk about Alex Ross's latest venture. We'll talk about the Dark Knight pictures that just came on the internet. But we're going to start things off, of course, with the sad news. This past Sunday, Mike Waringo, one of the best, in my opinion, probably the best Fantastic Four artist since Kirby, died at the age of 44. He had a sudden heart attack, and, well, now the entire comics world is mourning. I actually first got into his work via mostly his work on Fantastic Four. I then found a lot of his previous work and looked at that, his Flash stuff. A lot of the Flash covers that he did were all collected in the trades that I recently bought, and they're absolutely fantastic. He's a wonderful artist, and he's going to be missed terribly. Raph, what was the first Waringo things that you remember seeing?
You know what? It was this Fantastic Four run, because that's when I've been collecting comics for the past 10 years nonstop, but like I cut back. So I was working and I was near a comic book store and I would stop by and I started picking up Fantastic Four with Wade and Waringo, and it was on issue 500. So I obviously, you know, I want to collect the milestone issue, and I just remember the artwork was incredible. I mean, like this guy is really good. This guy was incredible. The look on the, I mean, it sort of had a cartoony feel to it, but it wasn't so overtly cartoony that it took you out of it. Like, it was, his stuff was great. And I remember picking up Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man when that started, because I think it started with The Other, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I picked up The Other, and you know, I've seen his stuff around, and you know, I tend to stop when I see his stuff and look at it, and then I'll, you know, sort of, I usually pick up his stuff. I don't think I've not picked up any of his books the past 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. You know what, actually, the best way to describe his work to me is that it's cartoony and yet realistic.
Yeah.
It's a style that's so unique to him. that I really have not found any other artists that really have that same look to the art. I mean, again, there's cartoony artists out there, but none of them really had the same youthfulness to the art that Waringo had. Brent, I know that you're not nearly as familiar with his stuff as, you know, some other people are, but Waringo stuff have you picked up in the past?
I think I've flipped through a couple of the Young Justice stuff that he did, maybe some Spider-Man. I know I did pick up the first couple issues of the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, but other than that, not a lot. But I did like his style. I mean, if he had been on, like, a book that I would have liked to have read more than Spider-Man, then I definitely would have picked it up. But I think you're right about the youthfulness of his art. It certainly added a little extra spunk to it, you know?
Yeah. And to me, nobody draws a better thing than Waringo.
Yeah, dude, his thing is great.
I've seen, and again, there have been so many different renderings of him in the past. I mean, some of them have like a jaw to them, like the way that Michael Turner draws him, he has a bit of a jaw to it. What Waringo does is he looks like a man covered in rock. As opposed to it being a rock creature, as opposed to being a rock monster, as opposed to being this big, bulky guy who happens to be covered in rock, to him, he is probably most described as a man covered in rock, if that makes any sense at all, what I'm saying here. Just please let me know, because that's the best way I can describe his thing. And it felt so true to the character, and it made the character itself feel real, which is so hard to do with a character that's covered in little pieces of orange rock. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, come on. That would never happen in real life.
No, that's...
Nothing like that could really ever happen in real life. And yet he made every single one of his characters feel so unique and so true. We're never going to see another guy like him.
Not for a long time, at least.
I agree with that entirely. Now, also another thing that came out in this, and again, this is, you know, pure speculation, obviously, but from the looks of things, Warren Ellis and Waringo were going to have something doing in a couple months, which makes me even more upset about this, because I can just imagine what his art would have looked like combined with Warren Ellis's storytelling.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, but again, we can only really speculate at this point what would have happened in his career. But were there any characters you wanted to see him on?
I don't know. I thought he hit a bunch of good characters while he was alive. I mean, maybe anything else might not have fit his cartoony style. I mean, I like the Fantastic Four covers that I saw when he was doing that, but anything else, I'm not sure, really. I guess you'd have to kind of go, like, a big universe book, you know, not just one character. So you got to draw a whole bunch of different people, like if you did, like, I don't know, maybe if you did Superman, Batman, or something like that, where you could throw in a whole bunch of people.
Maybe something like a Marvel team-up?
Yeah, something like that, too.
Yeah, because actually, it would have been nice to see him on Marvel team-up back when it was around. Well, for one thing, I can imagine Kirkman's writing going very well with his pencils.
Yeah.
Raph, any characters you would have liked to see him get?
I'm actually looking through his comic book DP profile, and he's done a lot of stuff that he's actually done a lot of the stuff that I grew up, like when I first started reading comics 10 years ago, I was reading Robin, I was reading Young Justice, I was reading select issues of Spider-Man, and you know, he's actually done a lot of stuff that I started out with. And Terminal Velocity, that arc of the Flash, I think that was the introduction to the Black Flash. Uh-huh. I read that when it first came out. That was him.
Oh yeah.
So it's like it's starting to hit me now, all of his artwork. And you know, I really would have liked to have seen him get a decent run with a team book, like I mean, Fantastic Four is a team, but they're more like, you know, it's four people. I'm talking like Avengers, JLA, X-Men. You know, like just I wanted to see what it'd be like for him to draw like a huge ensemble group. And it just to see what he could do with that would have been nice. But I mean, he covered Robin, he covered Young Justice, he did a few issues of Superman, he did Spider-Man. I mean, he's covered a lot of my favorite characters. So I guess the only thing to do after that is to do a big team book.
Yeah, well, it would have been nice to see him on something like maybe like Justice League or Avengers.
Yeah,
or something,
yeah.
Like that. I actually would have actually liked to see him. And again, this is going to be a weird character to mention here, but Man-Thing, because I saw him actually draw Man-Thing once or twice while he was on Spider-Man. The rendering of a Man-Thing that he did was pretty damn good. So I feel like if they were to bring the character back, he would have been a perfect fit for him. But, you know, again, that's just you know, something that I would have liked to see out of him that I sadly will never be able to. One of the things that the family is asking for you folks to do if you want to support him is to either donate to the ASPCA or to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund in his name, because those were two of the causes that Mike Waringo were very much towards. So if you go ahead and, you know, whatever you could, just donate to the ASPCA or the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and it'll certainly make him happy wherever he is. So, again, Michael Ringo passed away at age 44, and the comic book community will certainly miss him. If you're interested in his work, there's a whole bunch of trades and stuff that you could pick up on Amazon and InStockTrades.com and all over the place. For example, his Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four run with Jeff Parker is available on Amazon for $8.79. It's supposed to be pretty good. I never got a chance to actually read it myself, but I might that now, actually.
It just started not that long ago.
Yeah, it did just start just a little while ago. That's available for pre-order on Amazon. Telos Volume 1 is available on there. Fantastic Four, all of his volumes of Fantastic Four are available. I'm not sure which trades of Flash you can get him in, but you did mention Terminal Velocity, right? Right, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I
just... Around issue 100.
Yeah. I picked that up recently, and he does have some stuff in there, including covers. So go ahead and see if you can find that stuff. And most importantly, if you're going to pick up anything by him, I would certainly start with the Modern Masters Volume 9, Michael Ringo. Because this is all Michael Ringo art, and pretty much anything that you'd want to see out of Michael Ringo, you're going to be able to find right here in this book. And it's available both on InStock Trades, I'm pretty sure, and on Amazon.com. So anywhere you go, just do yourself a favor and you know, go ahead and look at some Michael Ringo art, and you'll certainly be happy that you did. So, again, Michael Ringo gone. We're going to miss him. But, hey, I mean, the comics world moves on, and his art will always be there. So that's what's important. Let's go to happier pastures here, I guess, and talk about something that everybody on the panel will be able to put their two cents in. Specifically, the pictures that just got released of Batman, the Dark Knight photos that just got online, literally this very day, because the post on the Comic Geeks forums came out at 9 this evening, and I had not seen these until Brent said, "Hey, did you see the pictures?" I'm like, "What pictures?" The pictures of Dark Knight. I'm like, "What pictures?" So I'm very glad that he pointed me in the right direction, because if I had missed these, I'd be a very sad panda right now.
Yeah, I just looked at him. I just told you that to look at him right after I saw them.
Yeah.
And because I saw them, I was on Ain't It Cool News while we were trying to set up the podcast, and I said, "New Dark Knight pictures, get them while they're gone. Get them while they're hot."
Get them while they're gone.
They were gone.
That's actually more like it. Get them while they're gone.
Because it was some lawyer thing, and then I was like, "Oh, I bet the CGS forum has them. They're always illegal or whatever." So I went over here and looked at them, and oh my god, I just like crapped my pants just looking at them.
Comic Geek Speak forums, illegal to the extreme.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know if they'll be there when you guys hear this. Just search around on the internet. I'm sure they're going to pop up in other forums and stuff anywhere. But they just look absolutely and utterly amazing. I mean, they posted it with spoilers, but it doesn't really give that much away from the story. It just gives you good looks of Batman in his new suit. It gives you a good look of, you know, like the new Batcave, kind of like he's in his penthouse. And good looks of the Joker. Like a big close-up, and it's not the promo image that was on IHateHarveyDent2.com or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, this is a much, much better up-close pictures of Joker and action shots of Joker, which is important because the way he moves is going to be as important as the way he looks.
Well, I mean, I'm liking that these pictures are out here because not everybody was able to go to Chicago and see the three-minute thing that they showed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, from the report that I read online of that three-minute trailer that they showed just to the Chicago people, this sounds like screenshots from that. I mean, they said they had a picture of Batman and the Joker throwing down in an interrogation room, and that's here in the pictures. They said there was some scene of Batman flying down on a car and smashing it. That's in the pictures here. Some other stuff of Joker holding a knife to Rachel Dawes, who's now Maggie Gyllenhaal. That's here. The Batpod is here. We get some new glimpses of like the Bat, kind of like a new Batcave. But it looks like it's in a warehouse kind of thing, which makes sense because his house burnt down in the first movie.
Yeah.
We still see the Tumblr, see the new bat suit and the old bat suit in action. This sounds like they just took it from the screenshots that they showed at Chicago. So, I mean, technically it's not already stuff that's been leaked out there through text. So I don't know what their big, like, rush is.
Well, because they probably put them out there before they wanted them out there, and that's always gonna, you know, annoy the companies. Put them out at, like, at the right time.
Yeah, and it is a lot of them. I mean, there's probably like 15 pictures here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Raph, what do you think about them? Because I know that you're a huge DC fan in general, but you're more Superman than Batman. But I know you like the Batman too.
I may pee pee in my pants.
Did you clean up afterwards? Because that would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes, I did. No, I seriously, you know, as much a Superman fan as I am, the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater was Batman with Tim Burton and Michael Keaton. So, as much as I love Superman, I love Batman almost as much too. And you know, as much as I love Christopher Reeve and all that, I think these new Batman movies are going to be the benchmark for the greatest comic book movies of all time.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
He finally says something I wholeheartedly agree with.
I enjoy it when Brent says things that I know are going to be in the next promo for Comic Timing.
Oh, God. This is Comic Timing. I wholeheartedly agree with you for a change.
You know, Variant Edition has been playing your promo twice on their Tuesday episodes.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Have you been knowing that? Did you know that at all? They pulled it off the Comics Podcast Network site or something.
Excellent. Good.
And I watch all their episodes, and then I saw the promo. I was like, yes.
Well, good, good, and thank you to Variant Edition. Well, I was actually going to play a promo on here for another podcast that ended up playing the promo, but we'll do that later, like about midway through this episode. But let's actually go through the photos again. I agree with Raph's statement. That much I barely needs to even be said, that I think this is going to be probably the best franchise. Let's actually go photo by photo here and explain it to you guys. The first one is just kind of just a very general Bruce Wayne shot, him looking down all badass like Bruce Wayne usually does. He's got that Bruce Wayne smirk on his face. Only Christopher Nolan can direct somebody to look like this, because Christian Bale...
And only Christian Bale can do that. He's yes. Mr. American
yeah,
Psycho.
So
that's
Bruce
what that
Wayne.
Looks like.
Yeah, I mean, he is so much Bruce Wayne. It's amazing to me how he's just enveloped this character so much in the last two movies now.
And we haven't even seen the second movie.
Yes, I know. In these pictures alone, it's proving to me that he's gotten even more into the character, because you could basically just take this image of him looking down and put that into a comic book, and that's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, there's no other actor that is the character much more than him. Maybe, you know what, Christopher Reeve as Superman, I think, and Clark Kent is close to this. But, like, in terms of the past few movies, like, past 6 years, Marvel movies and everything, Christian Bale is just so perfect as Bruce Wayne Batman. He just, I remember parts in the movie that he's just got it down so well. It's just, I can't wait for this movie. I really can't.
It's going to be fantastic, and I am happy to see that Alfred seems to be involved as much as he was in the last ones, because that's as important to me as Batman. You know, the interaction between Alfred and Bruce... It makes it as much as the interaction between Batman and anybody.
And that's Michael Caine as Alfred. You definitely want to see that.
I'll tell you.
The guy they had in the other movies, I really couldn't care less for. But when you got Michael Caine playing Alfred, I want to see Alfred.
Well, yeah. And that combined with the fact that Michael Caine seems as happy to be playing Alfred as Christian Bale is to play Bruce Wayne. Because, well, mind you, he is like that with pretty much every single role that he does, but
right.
he's so excited out there with every single interview that he's been given. Again, he's the one who breaks a lot of the spoilers, because he cannot contain himself.
I wouldn't be able to, too, if I was in this movie.
Hell yeah, yeah. And, I mean, along with the Alfred and Bruce shots, we've got, again, the first shots of the Joker here in action. And in the interrogation room, you see that the Joker is, it appears like the mostly his Joker face is makeup. Now, again, in the comics, it's all part of his, I guess it's all part of his scarring due to the acid.
Yeah, chemicals.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay with it being makeup as opposed to chemicals?
Yeah, I wish it was chemicals. But when you think about it, if you're going into acid, that's going to melt your skin away, not necessarily turn it white. Mm-hmm. You know, so if he has, like, a lighter skin tone because his skin's regrowing and his melanin hasn't, like, redarkened or whatever, you know, if he is dipped in acid in this movie, then I can see why he would put on face paint. If, you know, if he's completely nuts and he looks like a clown without makeup, then why wouldn't you dress up like one?
Sure, yeah, and I mean...
Especially if he's inspired by Batman.
And
which is the whole angle they're going for at the last movie, and especially in the teaser. Did you guys see the teaser?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
online, but it's mostly just a sound clip. Mm-hmm. If you go online and search for the teaser, all you're going to get is some huge HD file, right? And it's going to take forever to load, and all you get is the Batman logo exploding.
Yeah.
Go to this is one of my favorite sites, the Batman on Film. Search it in Google. Just click on it on the main page. They have it as this. They just have the sound clip. comes up right away, you'll hear it, and then you can go on from there. You don't have to wait for some stupid long HD quality trailer of the Batman logo blowing up. Cool as it was, but it took forever.
Well, hell, I love the fact that people are out there, all right, downloading the perfect HD quality just to watch the Batman logo explode.
Well, you didn't have any other choice.
Well, no, sure you did. Sure you did. There were non-HD versions that came out very soon after that.
Oh, well, I was looking at it the day of.
Oh, I see.
Because I was excited.
Oh, yeah, Simpsons movie. There you go, yeah. Well,
I saw that during then.
As did I, yeah.
But. Okay, but that piece of dialogue in that clip, though, was great.
Oh, I thought. Yeah, no, that because
it's Michael Caine talking to Bruce Wayne about being Batman and villains and all that stuff that was in the first movie that made it great. My favorite line in the first movie was, you know, why bats, sir? Bats. I fear bats. It's time to make bats fear me. Or time to make the villains fear bats as much as I do. Oh, no, it's something more like, they're sure my dread. That's it.
Yeah, and then he throws the batarang. He's Batman.
Exactly. My favorite line in that whole movie, and then he throws the batarang. Thunk.
Forget about Michael Caine. That's it. You have to play Alfred.
Best part.
You have to play Alfred, because, I mean, with that accent that you just gave us, man.
I'm sorry. It was so crappy. I'm sorry. I'm fanboy gasping right now. I'm sorry. I'm looking at these pictures. I'm going nuts.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. But actually, now that you mentioned the audio, what do you think of his Joker voice? Because it's very Nicholson-esque.
It was very quick. I've listened to it a lot, but I still can't get a whole feel for it. But I'm glad it's not, like, high-pitched or anything. I don't know what you mean about Nicholson-esque. I think Nicholson just did it in his regular voice, you know. But this is Heath Ledger, like, definitely lowering his octave and his pitch and stuff. I mean, Heath Ledger has kind of, like, a deep voice to begin with. Mm-hmm. And he's got that Australian accent. But I think he's definitely doing something to it to make it sound menacing. And that's what I want to see out of a Joker.
No, the thing with his voice is there are two things. First thing is, I don't know how I feel about the Joker's about his voice as a Joker until I hear him laugh, like cackle like crazy. And second thing is, there is a Nicholson quality to it, because when Nicholson was the Joker, he was very deliberate with his words, and you could hear that in Heath Ledger's voice too. He's very slow and deliberate and low. It does sound a lot. Just go watch the first movie again, and you'll hear it. You can hear it. It's a little bit like it, not 100%, but it's just that same slow, deliberate voice, and he does try to imitate a little, but not completely. But I need to hear him laugh first, like just laugh like crazy, and I'll know how I feel about this Joker.
Yeah, because again, the best Joker laugh is Mark Hamill's, so he's gonna have a lot to actually try and get himself to be anywhere near that in my head. But I'm sure he'll do a good job. With these shots here, again, inside of the interrogation room, it looks like Batman's going to be, well, angry at him at some point. And, again, this is Batman we're talking about here.
He's never not angry.
Yeah.
Well, what about the new Batsuit that you're seeing in these two pics in the interrogation room?
I'm loving it.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I'm loving it because it feels a lot more closer to the Batsuit we see in the comics. It's still armor. But it looks a lot more like the outfit, especially in the logo.
You mean like muscular? It simulates the musculature more, or
well,
what?
Well, that, but also the shape. The shape of it looks a lot more like it did in the comics.
It doesn't look as bulky.
Yes. And again, that was one of the problems I had with the Batsuit in the first one. Not that I didn't like it. It felt like it was a little bit too bulky for a Batsuit. This one feels like it's shaping the body a lot more. Like it's going to make him be able to be a lot more agile, and also it feels like, I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly. There's this quality to it just screams Batman to me.
I don't know. Scroll down and they have him in the original Batsuit, because I guess he wears both in the film, and you see him perched on a ledge, and then you see him like two more down. He's in the original Batsuit, mm-hmm. And I like the original. I mean, I like this one, but looking at these pictures up close, I don't know how much I like it. For me, the bat symbol on his chest is a little too small. Okay. If they're going to use the actual Batman Begins logo with the straight edge wings, mm-hmm. I think it should be a little bit bigger. It should take up his whole chest like the old one did. But I guess that's what the V is evoking. You know how they have like something beneath that over his pec plates or whatever. I don't know. That's just my nitpick, but it does look really menacing and badass, which is what it should.
Yeah, no, and again, that's what you need. You need him to be commanding. And he can do that in this new suit. Later on, actually further down, we can talk about this. Well, first of all, I really hope Batman's wearing a cup.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's one shot where Joker is giving him a very clear, you got kicked in the nuts kick. And, well, if they're going to be Bat children someday, he better be wearing a cup. That's all I'm saying. There's going to be enough padding in every single part of the suit, or else he's probably not going to be a happy person.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh. He won't be able to do the voice.
We do get to see one of his henchmen in this, though, and that's what I like to see out of a Joker henchman. You know, he looks clown-like, but different enough from the Joker.
Yeah. Looks like a mole.
Yeah, it looks like, I think it's a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is usually what we see out of the henchmen, because they don't usually get Joker gassed or anything.
Yeah.
No.
That one right above that, where Batman's perched on the porch, mm-hmm. I can tell you exactly where he is, because he's in the first film. Jim Gordon's house.
Ah, yes. Okay, yeah. It looked familiar to me, so that's sort of where I was placing it. Now, we get down to the next shot, and it's a Batman pointing a gun at a Batman. And I don't think the one he's pointing the gun at, I think that the one, actually, the Batman that's pointing the gun might actually be Christian Bale here.
No.
No?
No.
No.
No? Okay, all right.
Christian Bale would never wear a ski mask Batman outfit.
Well, but the mouth doesn't look right.
Well, true, the mouth on the other Batman does not look right.
Yeah. Either one of them, actually, for that matter, kind of doesn't look that right.
It's far away. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not close enough to tell that it's Christian Bale.
Well, that's the old Bat outfit, right?
Yeah, that's the one that I was talking about earlier.
Okay, all right.
From Batman Begins. But the other guy's wearing such a cheap outfit, and he's holding a rifle. I was thinking it could be, like, Alfred standing in for Batman, but it could be something else. I don't know.
They're not going to do that in this movie, man. Come on.
It would be great, though.
Alfred in the Bat suit is something that, again, they showed it in The Batman in this last season. They finally had him dress up in the Bat suit, which was kind of amusing. But you'd never see that in a Batman, in one of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, man. That's too cheesy. That's
okay.
Way
cool.
Yeah.
Down in the next post, we see some more like other Batman that you guys are talking about.
Uh-huh.
And big thanks to Coma Robot for putting these up.
Yes. Yeah,
I hope you don't get sued.
I highly doubt he will.
Yeah.
Oh, also, before we move on to that, the Batman that's holding the gun, that looks like an Alex Ross Batman.
Yeah. They may have gotten the model, maybe? The guy who models from Alex? Yeah.
Yeah, because they got the flowing cape, like Alex Ross's does.
Well, that cape is more like leathery fabric than the actual Batman cape.
Yeah.
So that's why it looks like an Alex Ross Batman, because Alex Ross Batman looks like he's wearing leather cape or whatever, because it's got all the highlights and stuff.
Yeah.
The cowl's cloth, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a ski mask, knitting, like wool.
Yeah,
what it looks like on the back
there.
Yeah,
when you look at it, it definitely is made out of a ski mask with, like, little ears on top, which I'm sure he probably glued on in arts and crafts. But, yeah, we've got some of these other Batmen down here, and one of them doesn't even have a bat symbol and looks like he might have been eating a little bit too much donuts.
But the other one's got a catcher's chest piece on.
Yes.
Yeah,
playing baseball. He came from the baseball field, put on his bat mask.
Foul ball!
It's the bat umpire.
There you go. And is this the Batman baseball team here?
Yes, actually. There's Bat Boy.
There's a little kid. He could be the Bat Boy.
There's
some scrawny looking
dude. There's Alex Rodriguez. There's let's not go there, all right? But
El Come Duce.
I mean, these guys probably gathered together their bat suits from the 99 cent store. This does not look like very high quality bat suit here.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah. And when the real Batman is flying down from the roof, that is an iconic Batman pose right there.
Oh yeah, that's it's sort of like the one they use for the cover of the DVD where he's like the one we drop when he flies up the staircase in Arkham Asylum.
Going down the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, down the staircase, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
It does look a little bit like that, yeah.
And you can tell these are leaked because you can see the cable clearly.
Yeah.
They haven't, you know, rotoscoped that out yet.
Well, I have no idea what you speak of. I mean, that obviously is just a cable that happens to be...
It's just a seam in... It's a seam in the concrete in the exact same spot that lines up perfectly with the back of Batman's head.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Just to clear that up. But it only continues for two stories, not three.
It just happens to be a wire that's hanging there. There used to be a light on it. That's it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, yeah.
All right.
The light bulb broke.
Who here wants a bat cycle?
I do. I want 3.
I want at least 7.
I want to know why it doesn't have 2 things on both sides of the wheels. What if he makes a hard left turn and that thing breaks?
Then the back
and then it's got no front wheel.
And Joker will get away.
Hey!
What I do not want them to sing that song in this movie like they did the first one.
That would be good times. That would be very good times.
No, didn't they sing it? Didn't they sing it in the first movie?
Yes, they did.
Well, I don't want them to sing it here.
Oh, but come on, man, that'd be fun.
No,
it'd be highlights, man. It'd be throwback to the old movies.
Maybe if Alfred sings it, but I don't want Joker to sing it.
Yeah, no, Michael Caine has to sing it now. All right, it's in my head. I need that British accent going. Jingle bells, Batman smells.
We'll write him a letter.
Yeah, right. Now the Batcave's computers look like they're straight out of like Halo or Doom or something like that. It looks like a command center from like a video game.
No, and he's got like a huge server to the side of him. Mm-hmm. That's computing power right there.
Hell yeah. And I mean, that's realistic too, because I used to hate it when it looked like the computer was just put together with a monitor and a keyboard.
Yeah.
You never actually saw the tower. At least here you can see where this power is coming from.
And a whole bunch of cables and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, by the time, in the comics, I mean, Batman's so technologically advanced, you don't see any cables, you don't see any, like, this is still, like, early on in Batman's career, the movie is, so it's nice to see, you know, that the grittiness of it.
Yeah. If he wanted to, you know, for nefarious use, he could just tell a plane to go elsewhere and it'd crash, that's it. Sorry, I just watched Die Hard 2 a few days ago.
All right, next picture, we got the Joker and Katie Holmes, who gained a lot of weight.
Wait, that's not
Katie Holmes.
That's not Katie Holmes.
Sorry.
That's a much better actress.
Oh.
That's someone who isn't brainwashed.
I liked Katie Holmes in the first one.
Yes, but Katie Holmes is brainwashed, like Raph just said.
That's true.
Katie Holmes believes in the power of science.
Scientology is the
way! She lost the appeal once we knew she was now nuts. And Tom Cruise is nuts, too. Yeah.
I don't want to see Tom Cruise is nuts.
Ever.
I could go my entire life without seeing those.
Okay, so don't watch Eyes Wide Shut.
I will certainly not.
Never.
To make one more comment about the computers, though, it reminds me a lot of the setup. Anybody here watch La Femme Nikita?
No.
Once or twice.
Okay. That looks a lot like their command center.
I can see that.
Yeah, one of their command center bunkers with all the monitors like that definitely looks a lot like that. But yeah, are you okay with the change in you know actresses here? Because obviously, well, Katie Holmes is you know too busy teaching people the wonders of Scientology to be in this movie
and getting drugged up.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She went too nuts or whatever, and I think it damaged the movie or her career just being with Tom Cruise, obviously. You know, she hadn't done anything since, right?
Yeah.
No, she did, but nothing, you know, nothing worth mentioning.
Yeah. And hey, I mean, we go to an actress that was in Donnie Darko, so that's okay in my book.
And the Joker's wearing purple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy.
Yeah. Hey, the Joker without purple is like Barney the Dinosaur in blue. You know, it just doesn't work. That is something you must stick by. He wears purple suits. Keep it purple. Keep it fun. That's all I'm saying.
And he's got a green tie, like a dark green. It's not lime.
Well, as long as...
It's a darker tone.
Yeah, but it still looks like Joker.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, we got the tumbler just looks exactly like it used to, so there's not much we have to say about that, except for I want, like, 4 of those also.
Good. I like the way that they're keeping the Batmobile the same.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he would not need a new Batmobile if this takes place like
he wouldn't change
2 months
it every,
after
like,
the first film.
Exactly,
he wouldn't change it every 6 months.
Thank you very much, because that was one of my biggest problems with the previous movie series.
Well, they had the same Batmobile for the first two.
Yeah.
And then Joel Schumacher decides to change it.
No, we don't say his name. We don't say his name.
You know what? I was watching the Batman animated series. You know that episode where they do the Frank Miller thing?
Yeah.
In there, those kids that are telling the stories are walking around, and there's some kid with long hair, and they call him Joel, and he goes, "Wow, Batman's fantastic, and, you know, drives a car that can drive up walls and has really fancy costumes and all this other stuff."
And they're like, "Shut the fuck up."
And they're like, "Shut up, Joel." But if you've watched the Batman special features on the Batman Forever disc... Uh-huh. Joel Schumacher talks exactly like that. Batman to me was always about the cool costumes and the fancy cars and, you know, and he flips his hair all the time when he's talking, and he does it in the cartoon too. Is great.
Did you guys see the episode of Robot Chicken where the comic book convention goes crazy and they find and the security guys are trying to get Schumacher out and the fans find him, they beat him to death?
Yes.
That's me. I'm going to beat him to death when I see him.
Dude, I believe that you just got another creator with a restraining order against you.
I don't care about that one, okay? I don't care about that one. The others? Jim Lee? It's okay.
See,
okay,
Raph, that's a disadvantage, because if you got him on your show, I would have asked him what the hell the number 23 was about, because I still don't get it.
Michael, I don't care!
Yesterday.
Michael Jordan.
Number 23?
Yeah, number 23, Michael Jordan.
I'm going to hang Schumacher in Times Square for all those stupid ass directors out there who want to fuck up a comic book franchise. They will see that corpse up there and they'll know, they'll learn the lesson. No way.
Ang Lee, run for your life.
Yes.
Brett Ratner is okay.
Whatever.
He didn't do that bad.
He had one.
Steven Johnson?
Can't
turn out a good movie, though.
Have you guys seen the Dark Knight Returns episode? Well, not. Yeah, I guess it was mostly Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns episode of The Batman, the animated series?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, I did, when Nightwing's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty good, too.
That is good, and I realized something. I might actually like this series now. It's not the best in the world, but it's gotten a lot better. But why is that? They brought on the best animated showrunner they could possibly get. The showrunner of Gargoyles.
Oh, yes, you missed it.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Star Trek the Cartoon. It's
right,
so good,
going.
Though.
Yes, but that would be Greg Weisman. Greg Weisman, the awesome, yes. awesome showrunner, is now the showrunner of The Batman, which makes me very happy. Let's go down here. Joker's all messed up with his face and all that. This is actually a good thing about him having face makeup, as you get to see him completely messed up, and it sort of makes him look
scarier,
more sadistic and scarier.
Because you know, bad makeup and like messed up makeup when it rains and falls down, just creepy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
creepy.
What's sad is that in my head, I'm actually imagining that face shooting Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Like this could be the Joker that goes on to cripple Barbara Gordon in the movies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it just looks perfect there. And then you've got Batman crashing down onto a car, you know, glass going everywhere, and all I can say to myself is, I'm pretty sure the insurance does not cover Batman.
We don't cover Batman-related damages, sir. Damn it!
Dude, that's line one for any insurance policy that's taken out in Gotham City. But my car got crushed by a giant flying Batman. I'm sorry, sir. Not even Geico covers that. No.
I love this line from Logan McLeod. He has a picture of Joker about to like kill Rachel Dawes, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I wonder if they could work it in the script where the Joker kisses Rachel Dawes. That way, Heath Ledger could say he had kissing scenes with two actors who happen to be brother and sister.
Boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Zing. Ooh. And you know what? I want it to happen.
I just hope Heath Ledger doesn't sleep with her, because then he slept with the brother and sister.
That's where we kind of draw the line there, sir. We don't have to go there, all right? So, all in all, did these pictures make you anticipate the movie any more than you already were?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm there as well. I need to see this. I want this trailer. I want to watch it 7 or 8 times. Then
yes.
Watch it at least 50 more after that. I cannot freaking wait, man. I cannot wait for DC to have another movie out, finally.
Amen.
You know? I mean, they are dropping the ball. You know? And
totally.
This is a different topic. We might as well just go on to hit this real quickly here. I mean, we've talked about it before on the show. You know, the fact that Marvel gets all these other movies out and they've got all these other projects in the pipeline, and all DC has right now, official, you know, actually in production,
Is this one.
That's it. Superman's delayed. You know, Wonder Woman's not even happening yet. JLA is in, you know, the script writing phase, which would be awesome if it gets made, but, well, make the other movies first. That sort of makes sense. Introduce the characters before you have the Justice League.
Green Lantern's still being developed and stuff. I mean, Okay, well, we had two Marvel movies this year. We had Spider-Man 3 and Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And Iron Man's coming out next year. I didn't think I'd be excited for Iron Man until I saw the bootleg YouTube stuff of that trailer.
Oh, man. And
did you guys see that from San Diego?
I didn't see it.
Oh, I was going to ask. Yeah.
Well,
God, it looked awesome.
Well, it appears that somebody hasn't listened to the San Diego Comic Con.
I did listen to it.
Oh.
I don't think you mentioned it though.
Yes, I did. I mentioned that at least once. Yeah, I spent all of Saturday in Hall H so that I could watch the Marvel stuff. Ha-ha.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
Duh.
All right.
You got pwned. Like a panda.
Okay.
Pwn panda. Okay.
So how was that?
It was freaking amazing. And they had the entire cast there to talk about it, and Downey just sold me on Iron Man entirely. I mean, the lines in that he spoke were totally Tony Stark. I can imagine the douchery in my head.
Oh, that's great.
Because, again, one of the lines that he speaks, he's you know, this soldier asks him for a picture, and he's like, yeah, sure, but I don't want to see this on your MySpace. No gang signs. All right, come on, shoot it up.
Oh, God. Civil War. That's so Civil War Iron Man. Oh, my God. I love you, Downey. This movie's going to be good. All right, but anyway, yeah, I mean, just to be fair to DC, though, DC doesn't control the movies. Warner Brothers does.
Yes.
So they're the ones that, you know, are slowing it down. Meanwhile, Marvel can go to Sony and go, listen, we need to get a Spider-Man movie done, or else we're just going to take the rights back, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, and also, how about the fact that that DC's making a anime sort of bridge gapper between the Batman Begins and The Dark Knight?
Similar to the Animatrix, kind of?
Yes.
And ooh,
I love the sounds of that.
That sounds good.
You know, they're having all of the major creators of anime in Japan right now be a part of this. So, like you said, though, it's going to be a lot like the Animatrix, and the Animatrix was fantastic.
Yeah, most of those things were pretty good, but when they went off the beaten path of, like, the main story of Animatrix, it kind of dipped for me. But if they're all doing fill-in stories of the year that are written by, or, like, plotted by Christopher Nolan or whatever, I'm all for it.
Well, I would not be surprised if this is where they introduce Harvey Dent for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, have something with him inside of his office or something like that. Bruce comes to visit him, all friendly buddy-buddy or something like that. Or even Rachel comes to visit him. And that could, because from what I've heard, Rachel and Harvey are going to have something going in Dark Knight. So this could be the first time that they meet, even, in this bridge gapper thing. So.
And apparently they're having Two-Face in this movie, or at least as, like, the last cliffhanger.
Yeah, because they showed in at Chicago, they had, Harvey all covered in, like, a scar on his neck, and it looked like it was going to be Two-Face. So, this is going to be fun. Good times.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this to happen. God bless you, DC, for at least making three or four good movies every now and then. Okay, two. Okay, one.
Well, the animated stuff looks good, too, right? I heard about the anime footage.
Yeah, the animated stuff looks good, and I'm looking forward to New Frontier a lot more than I look forward to Superman Doomsday. Again, I've seen it already, so, you know, I've already said my 2 cents on that, it's okay, but it's not great. New Frontier is going to be great. Let's switch off to the Newsarama news that came out both in Chicago and elsewhere. Specifically, let's go with the Miller and Hitch news. Now, in a previous interview, Brian Hitch said that he is not doing Fantastic Four. Well, it was just announced that Miller and Hitch are doing Fantastic Four. So,
good job.
Yeah, they didn't really fool anybody.
No tact.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so they're doing Fantastic Four, and if I heard right, they're going to be doing it for at least 36 issues.
Monthly. He's got 14 written already or plotted out.
Well, they better have at least 14 drawn before they start releasing them.
Well, he's on the fourth issue apparently now.
Okay, good.
And they start next year, right?
Yeah, next year. In January they start. So that means Dwayne McDuffie has a little bit more of a run coming, which is good to hear. I've been liking Dwayne McDuffie's stuff. I'm not quite sure if I want to see that end anytime soon.
Yeah, because Hitch, I mean, I love Brian Hitch and I love Mark Miller, but I haven't seen them on a monthly series in such a long time. I'm sort of used to them being like a mini series or a huge epic series sort of thing. Like not like a Civil War or maybe a mini series. You know, not like a month. I don't know. It just seems like it's too much.
It just seems like it's doomed from the start, based on the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think Hitch can handle it.
I don't buy his excuse that he had in the Newsarama interview or whatever when they announced it, that he got so bogged down drawing Ultimates because he so much work, had to Ultimize everything, and there's so much going on, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. Like, it sounded like he took days off because he didn't feel like drawing.
Well, also, how about the fact that he's going to have to draw a lot of space action?
I know, that stuff he put in the preview images on Newsarama has just as much crap going on in it than the Ultimates images. Yeah. Sorry if I'm yelling.
No, it's fine.
I'm getting annoyed.
It's okay because, you know, as somebody who followed the Ultimates, as somebody who really much enjoyed the Ultimates, I read every issue, and I loved it.
I got the trade when it came out, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's just that I don't want to have to wait for this. And I'm already upset because I have to wait two more freaking months to get the next issue of Runaways, which promised would not happen.
Oh, and really?
Yes. Runaways has been delayed until October.
Oh, yeah.
The next issue of Runaways has been delayed until October. It's been resolicited.
What a way to kill a momentum on the book, man.
You're damn right. You're damn right. Especially with the fact that Terry Moore and...
Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, and Humberto Ramos are the next team. And
his new style, that preview image that they put up, looks good for that.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely does. And again, Ramos has so many different styles that he'd be able to do any book he wants, really.
Yeah.
It'd be so much fun, though. I'm dying for that run.
Yeah. But just to go back to Miller and Hitch for a minute, what is acceptable lateness to you on this? Is there any lateness at all that you would accept? Like, say, like a month is the most right here? Is that what you guys are thinking?
Yeah, 10 issues like in 12 months is okay with me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay, but, like, see, after being so damn late on multiple issues of Ultimates, how long did that Ultimates 2 run last, did it, you know?
That Ultimates 2 run?
I know it was 13 issues, but how long was it drawn out? It wasn't a year. Was it, like, two or three?
It was drawn out over about 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Three and a half, 2.5 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
My God, I mean, get off your ass and just do it, man.
Well, don't you remember the fact that we already have teams announced for Ultimates 3 and Ultimates 4?
Yes, but Joe Madureira is, like, on, what, his third issue? And then McGinnis is only supposed to be on, like, his first?
Yeah, and
When that announced a year ago? What the hell's McGinnis been doing?
And I've heard major rumors around about what this big Ultimates shape-up is going to be.
Ultimatum?
Ultimatum, yeah. From the sounds of things, and again, this was just a rumor on Lying in the Gutter, so it could be false. We might never even get to see that one issue that McGinnis has done.
Because they might scrap it?
They might scrap it entirely, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because again, with this major shape-up that's happening, it's very possible he drew something that was out of date.
Ultimate Origin and all that stuff, right? Coming out.
Because
yeah.
From the sounds of things, they might even be canceling Ultimate X-Men.
Wow.
Meaning it's going to be Ultimates and Ultimate Spider-Man. Again, this is all unsubstantiated rumors right now.
And FF, right?
FF, from the sounds of things, might actually still stick around. But X-Men might end up canceled, which sucks because I've been really enjoying that lately.
Yeah, I know. It's so good.
Yeah. Kirkman has been doing a really good job on that. And, you know, even Miller did a good job on Ultimate X-Men the first time around. And I wanted to ask you guys about this, specifically about what they're doing on Fantastic Four. The original idea was that Miller and Hitch were going to do X-Men. That Miller was going to write all of the X-Books. And that Hitch was going to do the art on one of them. This was going to be the original idea that got thrown out in favor of Fantastic Four. Would you have rather seen them do X-Men than Fantastic Four?
I'm more likely to pick up FF than X-Men.
Okay.
So no.
All right.
Because I'm not reading X-Men now. And from what I'm reading on the, like, online, what sounds like what they have on X-Men now is better than what they did have.
Uh-huh.
So, good for X-Men. Keep the way it is.
I'm with that as well. I'm with that as well. Brubaker has been doing a fantastic job on Uncanny. Fantastic Uncanny. There you go. And the adjectiveless X-Men has been pretty good lately also. He's been getting a lot better as time goes on. And I would rather have seen that. I'm not quite sure whether or not Hitch's art would have lent to X-Men action very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raph, what about you? I mean, are you okay with Fantastic Four over X-Men?
All right. I'm actually very curious as to what Miller would have done with X-Men, because, I mean, Morrison did a great job with X-Men. It's just him doing 3 books a month, countdown. I'm just thinking countdown the whole time.
Well, see, the first thing that he would have done is turn Beast into his teddy bear.
Yeah.
And then from there, he would have hooked up Kitty Pryde and Cyclops. And I think after that, we would have had an arc where Thunderbird comes back from the dead.
When's Wolverine going to get some action? Why can't he have Kitty Pryde?
No, I want Wolverine. No, Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, are you kidding me?
Just kidding.
My God, man. All right? You're gonna have a guy who's known a girl since she was, like, preteen.
All right. Okay. Well, she's going to catch up anyway. That guy's forever young.
Yeah, I know.
Forever 42, but that guy.
I want something to happen where, and again, but I've talked about this with friends so often, and I've even talked about this with Raph. I want something to happen where Wolverine is out of every book for at least a year. Every single book.
Wolverine.
Even if they want to cancel his book, or if they want to keep just his solo book, that's fine. But have him be off in, like, Japan or something like that. And then he can come back all, you know, oh my God, Wolverine's back in, you know, a year or 2 years, something like that. Just to take him out of the limelight, out of the spotlight for a while, so he feels more worth it again.
That's how Marvel keeps their sales above DC's, is they have Wolverine in every book. He was in Namor last week or something, wasn't he? I mean, my God. If they took Wolverine out of every other book that he's in, then their sales would drop and we would see DC as the true champion.
I'm not sure about that.
No?
No, I'm not sure about that. He's not nearly as popular as you think he is.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
Spider-Man.
He used to be... No, Spider-Man's a lot more popular. He used to be really popular, but then the 90s ended.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like, he's still one of the most popular characters in Marvel, but if he went away for a while, people would be okay. I mean, Thor went away for a while and people were okay.
Yeah, but Thor was never as popular as Wolverine.
He was still pretty damn popular, though.
I love Thor.
He's still one of the most... Oh, good!
Okay, he's so popular, just like Captain America, that they had to kill him to raise his book sales. He's so popular.
Well, let's finish up with Miller and Hitch before we go on to the whole Captain America news that just came out. But yeah, so are you picking this up? Are you going to go trade and hope for the best, or are you going to pick it up in singles?
As soon as it's 3 months, 2 or 3 months late, I'm dropping it. I'm waiting for the trade. That's how I am with Miller now.
That's okay.
Much more. He has a shorter leash on it right now.
I can see that being the same with me. I'll give it a shot because, again, I've been picking up Fantastic Four monthly almost every single issue since it first came back from Heroes Reborn. I've only missed like 3 or 4 along the way, and they were written by JMS. So I don't see myself dropping Fantastic Four anytime soon. I might have to go to trades, though, if he does take 4 or 5 months in between one issue.
Yeah.
I mean, Brent, are you trade or floppies?
I don't know. I've been picking up FF, like, concurrently since they started doing the Civil War tie-in stuff. And I'm getting the McDuffie run now. But, like, I've read the last issue, and I was just like, you know, it's a good issue, but there's nothing to keep me reading it on and on. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about finishing off that arc and then dropping it. But if Miller and Hitch come on, I'll probably do that. But Miller and Hitch, I'll probably try it out. But like Raph says, if it gets... Well, I mean, I'm still reading All-Star Batman, so I'll probably still get it.
Well, Fantastic Four, at least you can say one thing about McDuffie leaving. It frees him up to do Justice League. Which is,
which
is okay with me, because the more Justice League he does, the better. And I want to see Dwayne McDuffie on a Gravity book. Now that Gravity's back, and McKeever's over in DC, exclusive, I want McDuffie doing Gravity for Marvel.
Well, yeah, I think it's good that Miller and Hitch are on FF, because Fantastic Four is probably getting, like, a huge landmark run.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, if you go to the Fantastic Four section in your comic shop... Mm-hmm. I know I go to mine, and all I see is, like, Heroes Reborn and maybe a couple other things.
Fantastic Force, obviously, with, you know, Fizzle Ward and all that other crap that back in the 90s. Ugh.
No, I mean, like, trades, you know?
No, I know.
There's not that many trades. Like, if you go to Batman, there's a shitload of trades. Spider-Man has a bunch, obviously, out now.
Yeah.
X-Men have a lot. Captain America has a couple.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there will finally be a Fantastic Four section thanks to this book once it comes out in trade, obviously.
There's a reason why everybody who goes on Fantastic Four says that they want to emulate what Lee, Kirby, and Byrne did for Fantastic Four. Because the last big run on Fantastic Four, you can throw Simonson in there if you want to, but the last really, really big run on Fantastic Four was Byrne. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Wade and Waringo had a wonderful run on Fantastic Four, but their stuff, and again, it was critically acclaimed and all that, but still.
But it's not all traded.
Yeah, it's not all traded. And I think a lot of it's traded, actually. I think pretty much all of it.
There's two or three of them.
Maybe traded, but it's not in bookshelves as readily available as.
Point, yeah. But you see the John Byrne Visionaries all over the place. You see Lee and Kirby stuff all over the place.
But see, the John Byrne Visionaries are more focused on Byrne than they are Fantastic Four.
But they're Fantastic Four issues.
That's not the point, though.
Well, I mean, you want to see
that's famous. That's Fantastic Four issues famous for it being John Byrne, mm-hmm. more than Fantastic Four being famous for being good Fantastic Four.
All right,
I'm hoping Miller and Hitch are gonna do.
I'll give you that. Okay.
You know, okay, like say, give me five classic Fantastic Four stories.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna say something Doctor Doom, Galactus, Silver Surfer, and maybe a couple other things, but truly stuff that everybody knows around. You're not gonna name.
Well, Frightful Four you could put in there.
Never heard of it.
You never heard
of it? It's all Lee and Kirby, though.
I've heard of the name, but I haven't heard of the story. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who did the art. Batman, I can say, obviously, Dark Knight, Year One, what else? Ra's al Ghul storyline. Everybody knows about that one. Death in the Family, and I guess Face to Face will come out in Batman Year 100 or Good Ones.
Well, you've heard of Days of Future Present, right?
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, and there's so much X-Men stuff, too.
No, that's Fantastic Four.
Okay. No, I have not heard of that one.
Okay. That's Simonson's. It was actually tied into Days of Future Past. It was the sequel to Days of Future Past that was done by Simonson in Fantastic Four.
Okay. Well, see, that's my thing with, like, DC. DC has a whole lot of good trades and runs that you can name. Superman, Death of Superman, Return of Superman, Superman for All Seasons. I mean, you can name them hand over fist. Names of stories that are traded in DC's collections. Marvel, you can't really do that with. Can I buy just the Galactus stuff? No. Can I buy the Venom trade? Yes, I can, but now it only because of the movie. I couldn't buy it before. Can I buy some, you know, some John Byrne, or not John Byrne, can I buy some good Fantastic Four stories? Yes, but I have to go to John Byrne Visionaries to get them. And I don't know the name of that story. Yeah. Can I buy some old classic Cap issues? If I go find some Jack Kirby stuff or, you know, John Byrne Visionaries, again, Captain America.
Yeah.
Can I go to the Hulk section and pick up some Hulk trades that are good Hulk stories? Yes,
not
but
really.
They're labeled under Peter David.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
like, the Batman stuff's not labeled under Frank Miller. It's labeled under Batman first.
And
that's the difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel puts out some good comics, but they're not memorable as DC is to me.
And by the way, just to addend what I said, it actually took place in the annuals that month for Fantastic Four, New Mutants, X-Factor, and X-Men. So that was all over the place. It was all done by Simonson. So yeah, it's not technically a Fantastic Four thing. So you were right about it being X-Men.
See.
Ah, and I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I think with Fantastic Four also is, I mean, they're one of the oldest Marvel comics, but they're not the Batman or Superman or Justice League of the Marvel Universe. They're more like Green Lantern, Flash, like one, like A minus, and they're not the A group. They're the A minus, I think, which is sort of a problem. They're not as popular as X-Men have become, Spider-Man, maybe even Avengers. Maybe, you know, because I think Avengers has even gotten more attention than the Fantastic Four. And Fantastic Four, there's only one real run that everyone knows, Lee and Kirby. That's it. That's everyone. Anybody knows that Fantastic Four is Lee and Kirby. And that's a legendary run, well, the second longest run in history.
Well, that's because, I mean, also the Fantastic Four are not the franchise group of Marvel. You know, the Avengers and the X-Men are. Fantastic Four are great, but they're just there.
Yeah, exactly. Like Teen Titans, or maybe like Justice Society now, or I don't know, like a small group.
Yeah, the Outsiders.
Yeah, Outsiders, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, the Outsiders are just there. They're a great comic book most of the time, but they're just there. You can do whatever you want with them, really. Pretty much we've just said that this needs to be an iconic run, and if it's not, then you're going to have a lot of people jumping off really fast.
And it needs to be on time.
Yes, it does. It does.
I think even if it's not iconic, people will still be on if it's monthly, but as soon as it drops, I think people are just going to drop it like it was a hot coal.
Drop it like it's hot? Drop it like it's hot.
Yeah, drop it like it's hot. Because they're going to just remember the Ultimates thing. I mean, that's what... You know, Hitch has got to really be working his ass off to get it out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know... Okay, I wasn't reading JLA monthly when he was on JLA.
Yeah.
But was that ever late? Like, Ultimates?
No.
See, no, it is possible.
Great.
He's just got to do it.
Oh, by the way, how many of you knew... And again, this is just a bit of trivia here I'm throwing out there. How many of you knew that Morrison and Miller wrote Flash for a while?
Oh, I remember that.
I had completely forgotten that Grant Morrison and Mark Miller... wrote about a year's worth of Flash.
No, I remember that, because when Miller started, he was teamed up with Morrison most of the time. Like, Morrison would help him out he would help him out, basically. Mm-hmm. They were the Grant Palmiotti of writing.
Scroll Kill Crew. They did yeah. Together. Yeah, but I had completely forgotten that they were even on in the first place. Mind you, I was first getting into comics at the time, but because I found an old news article about Mark Waid leaving for a year and then coming back, and he came back for about 9 issues and then left for good. But... Yeah, that was interesting. I'm going to have to try and track those issues down now of Flash, see how they did with a character like the Flash, because I could never really imagine Mark Miller on Flash, like, today.
You know? Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, he was on Superman
Mark
Adventures
Miller today
for a while.
Seems so much like pop culture and slam bang and no depth.
Yep.
He's like the new Jeff Loeb.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Ouch.
I'm sorry, Jeff Loeb's stuff now... Ever since Superman Batman, I mean, I'm reading Superman Batman over again, and I'm kind of reading some of his stuff he's putting out now. The Fallen Sun stuff did not impress me at all.
I actually kind of liked it. I kind of liked it. I mean,
I liked those first two issues that we talked about, but once 4 and 5 hit, I was just kind of like, 3, well, 4, and 5, yeah.
The Iron Man one was actually probably one of my favorites.
Okay, yes, that was good, but those others... Spider-Man, who needs
Spider-Man
who
wasn't
that
necessary.
Issue?
Spider-Man was filler. Spider-Man was filler.
Yeah.
They were trying to weave a story together by going through all the stages of grief. That was the one stage of grief that I didn't even really need to read.
And Hawkeye putting on the costume just to throw it away and say, fuck you, Iron Man?
See, I did like that because that explained why he went to the New Avengers in the first place.
Yes, but it wasn't essential to the Captain America Fallen Son story.
No, it wasn't, but they had
in War 3.
I still have a problem with that whole thing we talked about in that episode. Mm-hmm. I think it was 37. I could be wrong. Uh-huh. Isn't that where my girlfriend showed up?
I think that was 37, yeah.
Okay, so 37, and I was talking about it. I said, you know, this has nothing to do with anger, that second issue. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the third issue had nothing to do with bargaining. Kind of, sort of, maybe. Still, like, I should have seen a theme in every single panel, in every single line of that comic. If you're going to say it's a stage of grief, this comic.
Yeah.
Depression for Spider-Man, I did not see it. First 4 pages, maybe.
All right, I'm there with you.
And why was the last issue called Iron Man Acceptance when he was in the first 2 pages and the last 2 pages?
Because...
Where was he the rest of the book? I know it took place over Captain America's funeral, but I should have seen it from Iron Man's point of view.
I think that the acceptance was more about the group as a whole and less about Iron Man, even though the overarching story was Iron Man in that.
Then don't call it Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that could have been the Avengers issue.
He's the douchebaggiest of them all. Of course, he would be the one that easily accepts it, you know. Oh, Cap's dead. It's my fault. Oh, well, I'm a douche, remember? Oh, well, I don't give a shit.
The anger issue should have been Bucky. He's the one that's most mad if you're reading Captain America.
Yeah, you know that actually could have been, Fallen Son, Winter Soldier, and that would have worked.
Yeah.
See, but then this is just done in the Cap book. Because right now in the Cap book, Bucky's hunting. He's gonna go kill Tony Stark. That's what he said. So just make it the Cap book. You don't need a special series for it.
Well, it's Marvel. They like to get their mini series.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
it's
milk us for everything we got.
This is the World War III mini series of Marvel.
This is Countdown, all right? Don't even get me started in the Countdown miniseries, right? But
anyway, that's how I feel about Mark Miller. I feel like he's a new Jeff Loeb. Mm-hmm. A lot of flash in the pan, less substance as time goes on.
Okay. All right.
Well, no, he likes to be political also. Jeff is not political. He just tells a story.
Oh, and speaking of delays, just to throw this out there real quick, Gail Simone's debut on Wonder Woman has been pushed back one issue. She's going to premiere, I believe the original issue was going to be 15, and it's now going to be 16. They're going to have a story that fills the gap, at least. They're not just going to delay it for a month. They are going to have something that fills the place for number 15. But then her story is just going to premiere at number 16, hopefully go monthly from there. I believe this was the Dotsons that actually were the reason behind the delay this time and not the writer, because Simone is known for being on time.
So. Yeah, the Dotsons are late. No, they've been known for being late.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel Knight Spider-Man?
Well, that wasn't their fault.
Oh, it was Miller's fault, right?
Yeah, dude, that was Smith.
No,
I'm talking about Marvel Knight
Spider-Man. Okay, never mind.
So Kevin Smith is a lazy ass who can't get a script out.
All right, yeah. Well, was that Miller or the Dotsons on Marvel Knight Spider-Man?
I think it's a little column A and a little column B.
Okay. All right.
It's both.
Yeah.
See, I'm telling you, put Paco Diaz on a damn book.
I hear you. He could go right ahead and do Wonder Woman and make it good.
He did two issues of Wonder Woman in a row. He did, like, 10 and the last one or something, 11?
Yeah, they were great.
And they were awesome looking. There's still some issues. I mean, he's still working on it. Mm-hmm. But if you put him on a book, he's going to get used to it. I mean, look at the Bruce Jones Nightwing run. I know
what
I have to keep rubbing it in y'all's face, but I'm sorry. Put him on a regular book, just like Mike Norton. You put him on a regular book, it's coming out like clockwork. Paco Diaz is next, please.
You did not just throw out a y'all at us. I did not just hear a y'all.
Y'all?
Y'all.
Yeah, I do live in Florida. But there's a little bit of south here. We do say sometimes, if you want south, go north when you're in Florida. You want the true south, go north. Don't come to Florida. You want the southern experience, go north.
That's because half of Florida is New Yorkers.
Yes. Half of Florida is transplanted Brooklynites, man.
Exactly. Retired cops and all that crap.
Actually, it's not half. It's more like a quarter. I could tell you where the other half was, but that'd be mean.
Okay. Yeah, retirement homes.
Yeah, nope, not that one either.
Oh, and Raph, Bruce Jones.
Joel Schumacher must die, along with Jones.
You're totally racking up the restraint.
The kill count.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to more Captain America. But this time we got ourselves a brand new project from Alex Ross. The first thing he's done for Marvel since his whole...
Marvel's?
Yeah.
Earth-X?
No,
Universe X, Paradise X.
Earth-X, Universe X.
Earth-X.
That's the last stuff he really did.
Triple-X series.
Yeah, triple
X we'll call
series.
It.
That's it, yeah. Thank you very much for being you, Brent.
Sorry. That's why you love
Vin Diesel?
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, we got Avengers Invaders. And from the looks of things, this was in the works long before Cap died. It's going to bring the Invaders into the current Marvel U for a time travel story, I guess. He's not going to be doing the art on this. He's going to be doing the writing on it. I mean, it could be kind of cool. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably pick it up and see what it's like, because I like Alex Ross's Marvel work, and he does a good job on Captain America usually. But I guess your
yawn.
Is yawn.
Yes, yawn. Boring.
Do you hate the Invaders that much?
No, I'm saying Invaders in our time, boring, contrived. Do we have to bring them into our time? So what I'm saying, everything.
No.
Justice was good because it was set in that time. It wasn't set in current continuity.
Yeah.
Could take it as it was.
Well, he can't do it justice every time.
I know he can't paint it. I understand that. That's fine.
Well, no, it's not even that. I mean, he doesn't want to have to repeat himself. I mean, if he was just going to have an Invaders or even like an original classic Avengers thing in Marvel, all people would be saying right now is, oh, he's repeating himself. He's just
then why doesn't he take over a monthly book instead of bringing something old into the thing? It's like Alex Ross does not want to touch the new characters as they are. Mm. All he wants to do is touch the old characters as they were when he loved them or future characters that he can make just like they were when they're older.
Because he has his favorite characters, like any creator.
I know, but his work is not as... The list of his work is not as long as, you know, Jim Lee's. And I understand that's why, because he's a painter and stuff, but still.
No, he's very picky. I mean, when you do a series of Kingdom Come, you can do whatever you want. You write your own checks then. But he's also very picky. I've listened to him talk about certain things. Like, he nitpicked. I mean, when the Superman costume first came out for Superman Returns, he nitpicked that thing to death. I didn't like it. And he just, I looked at what he said, and I was like, wow.
He nitpicked it to death because he didn't design it.
Yeah. I mean, he's so particular with his things. Like, he only likes the Silver Age Superman when he did this and that, and he only likes Captain America at this point. I mean, when the guy's on, like, classic series like Marvel's and Kingdom Come, do you really want to say no to him? It's Alex Ross, you know?
It's kind of hard to say no.
No, yeah, he's like the mega diva of comics now, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you, because there are other people like him out there that will only do certain things for certain companies, you know, if they suit his needs. And, well,
yeah.
He's obviously wanted to do an Invader story for a while, and now the opportunity arises. This was in the works way before Brubaker wrote his Captain America stuff. As Brubaker has said, he wrote the Captain America issue a year ago. And this one, from the looks of things, has been in the work for about a year and a half, 2 years. So, I mean, now it's finally coming to fruition. So just let the guy have what he wants here.
Yeah, I'll get it in trade.
All right, there you go.
It's not exciting to
me. There you go. There you go. If you get it in trade, and I'm sure you'll probably either like it or hate it.
Yeah, Alex is a niche guy, pretty much. You either love him or you hate him now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I loved Justice. Justice was fantastic. I mean, it was the best thing he's done in a long time. And that wasn't even his straight art. I mean, he was drawing over, who was it, Kruger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Braithwaite.
Braithwaite, okay, yeah. Kruger is his co-writer, right?
Yeah.
Co-writer, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it still looked fantastic. And I'm okay with him not drawing, because he is a good writer on its own. I mean, the reason why a lot of people didn't like The Kingdom is because Alex Ross didn't have input in it. Mark Waid is great, but this was, you know, Kingdom Come was his baby as much as Waid's. So he wants to do something here with the Invaders in Marvel. Let him do it, and plenty of people are going to buy it just because it's Alex Ross, and it'll be a bestseller.
You know? Yeah, it's just like a cover, though. You're just buying it for the cover.
You're not buying it just for the cover, because
are you buying JSA for Alex Ross?
No.
He's supposed to be the creative consultant on that series, but he's not listed anywhere in the credits.
There will be folks who are going to be. Well, he is going to be listed for the Kingdom Come arc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arc.
Yeah.
That's when he's going to have input.
And I guarantee you there will be people who pick up that arc of JSA specifically because it's Kingdom Come.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely picking that up. Well, I'm already picking it up, you know, I'm just definitely picking it up.
Yeah, it's just the way things go sometimes, you know. You can't control the way people think, and sometimes they just love their creator and just want him on, you know, one or two things, and they're okay with that. We've got some other news here, specifically some Superboy news that's going on here. We're going to find out whether or not the rights go to Siegel or whether or not they go to DC sometime soon. Now, the problem with this ruling is that because they don't know whether or not it's going to be in DC's favor, DC can't use Superboy in their comics right now. Whenever you ask them at any comic convention, it'll give you a no comment and then just move on, which means that Superboy Prime is being renamed to Prime right now. You can't have Connor referred to as Superboy anymore. He's just Connor. That's why they changed the cult of Superboy to the cult of Connell or Connor or whatever it was.
Connell.
Cult of Connell. Do you guys want to see Superboy back in comics? Are you okay with the subtle hints towards Superboy and not necessarily using the name?
I want to see Superboy under the DC Comics banner as part of that character. I mean, okay. Superboy, in its original incarnation, was a young Superman, yes?
Yes.
Okay, define Superman's powers for me. Three of them.
Flight, X-ray vision, and heat ray.
Okay, can you name three of Superboy's powers?
Flight, X-ray vision, and freeze breath.
Okay, and heat vision, right? Just like Superman.
I know, I just wanted to change this up.
Okay. Well, he has the same powers. He's described as a young Superman, therefore it is totally derivative of Superman, right?
Yes. The one problem about it, though...
I read something where it was like, you know, it's only... Superboy was created in the comics, like, you know, less... Or, like, a little bit after a year than Superman was in the comics and still hadn't been fully defined.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It's the same thing.
I agree with you, and that's what DC is going to probably do in court. I mean, they're going to have to try and bring that up. Which
I mean, all of the other Superboy comics that have been published after that first comic, you know, is totally derivative of Superman.
Yeah.
Yes, it established young Clark Kent's history in Smallville, and then that was later incorporated into the Superman comics. So to say that you have no copyright over the younger life of a character is just lame, because it has a different name.
Especially considering that you'll have to just stick with Clark Kent. That's it. I mean, you can't even mention a Superboy name, which means even if he's displaying his powers, you're going to have to go Smallville, you know, and say, well, he was just using his powers, but he never really, you know, put on a costume before he was, say, 25 or something like that.
Well, I can guarantee you if the Seagulls get these rights, because it just sounds like a money grab thing. If they get the rights to Superboy, then they can sue Smallville because they're using Superboy, because it's a young Clark Kent who's using the same powers Superboy had. The only difference is he's not using the costume.
I think they already tried that and failed, if I remember correctly. There was some sort of suit that I remember happening when Smallville first came out.
First came out, yeah, I remember that.
About it.
Didn't work out.
And they ruled in Smallville's favor. So I'm pretty sure that they would be okay. But if they do try and go after them again, that would be terrible. Raph, what's your take on this whole thing?
Well, I mean, they've already... I mean, Action Comics Annual number 10, the Lightning Saga... They're bringing back that continuity when Superman used his powers when he was younger. They already started to bring it in. It's so awkward to me. It's like, you know, just let him be Superboy. And you know what? In Connor's case, let him come back, because I'm so sick of Wonder Girl's bitching and moaning. Jeez, he's been dead for over a year. You kissed his best friend. God damn it! Come on.
Wow. And yet again, it would not be an episode of Comic Timing without Raph losing his head at least once.
That's my third fanboy rant already?
I'd say so, man. But look, yeah. I mean, she seems to be getting over him ever so slightly as time goes on. I mean, you know, in the most recent issues, and again, spoiler here for Teen Titans a little bit, it seems like she's going to try and start something with Robin to try and help herself move on and him move on at the same time. Now that Bart's gone, it's kind of all she has left. So it kind of makes sense for them to really be closer at this point. But as for Connor, I'd like to see him back. But even having him back with the Superboy name would be fine by me. Just have the character back. I loved him.
Yeah, he was a great character.
And that's the other thing. This Superboy thing is now a new character. Under the copyright law that when DC had it, right, they made a new character. So how can you take away a new creation from them? How can you do that?
Yeah.
It's
hard to define. It is. The judge did rule that it wasn't a new character already. So that's the third option that was you know, given there. So now it's just whether or not it goes to Schuster because... Excuse me. I keep saying Schuster. It goes to Siegel because you know, he created it early on and they hadn't gotten the mythos, or whether or not it goes to DC. But the separate character work for hire thing that his family was trying to go for has already sort of been tossed out in court. So we're okay with that.
And that's kind of like Stan Lee's kids going after he's dying in 20 years, you know, after Stan Lee's been dead for a good long time.
Well, don't
his great grandkids going into Marvel and saying, you can't use teenage Spider-Man anymore. Because that's a separate character or something.
Who here remembers the Captain America case that happened a few years ago? Where the creator... I believe it was one of the creators of Captain America, or at least his son.
Simon or Kirby.
Yeah, there we go. I think it was actually his grandson tried to get the rights of Captain America away from Marvel Comics, saying that it was a work-for-hire thing and that Captain America belonged to his family, which, mind you, would have entirely crippled Marvel Comics, you know, without Captain America around. Oh, wait, they killed him anyway. But, you know, I mean, just the fact that they tried to go that route to try and get the character away from them and get the rights for themselves.
But see, here's the thing. What are they going to do with the Superboy rights?
Make pies and call them Superboy pies.
Honestly, anything like this angers me, because what are you going to do with the rights? Do you have your own comic company? No. Are you going to publish Superboy comics yourself? No. Probably not.
Yeah. They're going to sell the rights back to DC.
Suck money from a company, are you going to do with these rights?
Yeah. I'm with Raph there. I think they would probably try and sell the rights back to DC.
No, they'll rent them back to him.
What's the point? Other than a money grab, I hope this judge sees this and slams down this stupid lawsuit. And then every other lawsuit after this, you can look to this and say, it's a character based on a character, is pretty much what it is, and therefore it's a derivative of that character and it has no precedent. Especially if a company's been banking its money off of the character for, I don't know, 75 years or something?
Yeah, yeah, and now it's finally coming up.
I mean, my God. If Jerry Siegel wanted his character back so bad, especially a lame one like Superboy, then he would have gotten it back.
Yeah.
He would have gotten Superman back when he was still alive. Not his, you know, grandkids.
Well, he fought for it. Neil Adams, I heard this story from Neil, actually. Like, he, back when he was still alive in like, the 70s, like, they fought like hell to get the rights back to Superman, because they basically sold the rights for $50,000.
Yeah.
If they'd kept 50% of the rights, let's say, Siegel and Schuster would be billionaires.
Yeah.
Superman itself is a billion-dollar franchise around the world. T-shirts, comics, movies, everything. So, I mean, I know what you're saying, like, the company is dependent on Superman, Spider-Man, all these guys, but, I mean, what the original guys lost, because they just wanted to make comics and entertain people, and they didn't know anything about rights and stuff, I mean, it's not fair to them also. I mean, the family's doing this, it's just being greedy or anything, and I agree with that, but, I mean, they lost so much. Kirby created the Fantastic Four. He had a hand in creating Spider-Man. He had a hand in creating Captain America. What does he have? What did he, you know, he didn't have much to show for it.
Well, I can see.
For years, Bob Kane's name was not on Batman.
Yeah, I mean, Siegel and Schuster, like, they didn't get their names on Superman until, like, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or 30 years ago.
That I can see is the original creator suing for his rights. Not his wife, not his kids, not his grandkids. Jack Kirby's still alive saying, I want a stipend from all the money you've made. You know, that's what I want to see, is Jack Kirby saying, if you're still alive, you know, I want rights for Captain America. Maybe not rights, because I want you to continue publishing my character. But
maybe
I
1%
want,
of the profits, you know, like
yeah,
something like
a
that.
Percent of the profits, some money back, you know, off of my investment of time. That's the other thing, is work for hire, so who knew that it was going to be so big? You know, they didn't own the rights to begin with. But I can understand that, the original creator wanting their stuff back, or just a piece of the money that the company made off of it. But somebody's kids or wife or grandkids just seems completely unreasonable to me.
It's like Anna Nicole Smith's kid.
Yeah, it is. It's like Anna Nicole Smith going to the porno companies that she posed for and saying, I want money. Well, that kid didn't necessarily lose anything from Anna Nicole not having all of her money.
Or no, I mean, the whole fact that two guys fought for her, fought to find out who the daddy was.
I know,
and
I mean...
So they could own the baby, so they could own the... Because I think she married a billionaire who died or something, and that now that baby is entitled to half of the money, and the billionaire's other kids are fighting it or something like that. It's just so weird.
It's like her aunt's fighting for it. But, like, Jerry Siegel's grandkids technically did not lose that much from their grandfather not having the rights, or their family not having the rights. Yes, they could have made a lot of money, but they're not in poverty. Nobody died.
Yeah,
you know,
I think...
I'm sure they can argue a different way, but I'm sure that their life would not be drastically different.
No,
they might have improved their quality
of
living, but it would not have made them any better of a person. It, you know, their education would probably be the same. I should be the judge on this case, because I'd rule in DC's favor, the big evil media conglomerate.
Yeah, I think they make like $50,000. I don't know what exactly the deal is, but I think the Siegel and Schuster families do get some money for Superman. I'm pretty sure they do. It's not like a few million dollars or whatever. It's probably like, it might even be $1 million. It could, I don't know exactly, but it's not like ownership, but it's still enough. I mean, a few $100,000 a year for something you didn't create that your husband or your father created and you know nothing about. I mean, come on, that's pretty good.
Well, see, I'm pretty
sure they do get money. I'm just, you know.
I know, that's cool if the original creator is getting money for it, but I think once that original creator dies, and maybe the spouse dies if she's depending on that money, that should stop.
Yeah, like, you know, it's you only go to a certain, you can't support an entire family, you can't have a company support an entire family, their entire, like, until they're extinct or whatever, you know? That's too much.
Unless, unless the kid worked on that character as much as the dad did or something, like, touched it, like Christopher Tolkien's, like, rewritten, like, two of his dad's books or something, so he's touched
the
character.
Yeah, he finished some of his works, yeah.
Yeah, that's doing just as much work as working on the characters as Siegel and Shuster or whatever, so he has good claim to the rights because he worked on it as well, but anything past that should not happen. You know, these kids have not worked for DC Comics. They haven't touched the characters. They shouldn't get a lick of money.
Yeah, well,
they should get whatever their dad
too.
Got and their inheritance, and that's it.
Yeah, no, I think actually one of the kids died. Siegel and Shuster's kid died, and another one was they're both like in their 60s or 50s, I think. So it doesn't mean anything to them.
All right. Well, we've pretty much talked that to death. Did you read that about Jamal Igel leaving Nightwing?
Yeah, I am. What the hell are they doing? I don't know why they did that. I have no idea why they got rid of him.
I don't understand it either. I mean, he got on. This is what makes me mad. He got on Raging Bullets, and I don't know if this was Jamal or DC Editorial or something. He got on Raging Bullets and had some, you know, and he was talking to you guys too, basically like the same time, going, "Oh, I love Nightwing, and I'm so excited about this upcoming arc," which he did like two issues of so far. And he's not going to do the rest because I checked the DC solicitations. It's like they just pulled him off of a book to do what? Two Teen Titans issues, and then what's after that? He had such a long run on Firestorm, right? Why'd they pull him off a book?
Yeah, he gets moved around so much. It's a shame because, like, I mean, Freddy's still on Robin. Freddy's been on Robin for almost a year now, over a year now, because it's way past a year.
He's been on for like 16 or 18 issues at least.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you've got you know, all right. I don't know what's going on with the Q-Brits, but the Q-Brits, you know, they do a few issues. They're gone. Fill in. One issue. Fill in. Issue. I mean, Jamal's a great artist, and he really deserves, like, a book to stay on. Maybe, you know what? Maybe he goes back to Nightwing. Maybe there's some crisis with Teen Titans, like, editorially, and they needed him to fill in. I'm hoping that's the case.
Or even if it's, like, a personal thing, but it doesn't sound that way.
He's not excited about this whole beginning of Nightwing arc with Wolfman.
Yeah, like, seriously, I didn't like the Bride and Groom art that much. I did like it, but as soon as that 321 Days arc started, I really started to gravitate towards his art and become a fan, and then just as soon as I started to love it, they pull him off. And I'm like, I can't get Jamal Igel this month. Well, that doesn't do anything for me as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking forward to his Teen Titans stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, he could have been on Nightwing. He could have done two issues of Nightwing by then. I think he's doing countdown tie-in or something, too. Isn't he doing, like, the Earth 3 tie-in? The Evil Earth?
Okay. Oh, you know what? Okay, here's what he says after Titans. After that, I don't know yet. There's one thing that's hanging there but hasn't been finalized. The thing that I was kind of inching toward is on the back burner while they figure out where to put it. Once I have more details, I'll let you know. And if you listen to his interview with me, he's a huge Superman fan.
Yeah, but
he's a huge Superman. Maybe he's gonna do a Superman. Maybe he gets to go on Superman. That would be great because that's one of the premier titles of DC. That would be terrific for him.
Okay, but we have Carlos Pacheco on Superman. I don't think he's going anywhere because they have not finished that Arion arc for good.
That's true.
Then you got Gary Frank coming on after Eric Powell on Action Comics, and supposedly he's supposed to be the Superman artist for a good long time.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe Batman.
But we've got Tony Daniel on Batman, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to maybe Flash. I really don't know where Jamal's going.
But
you know,
Flash has Acuna on it.
Well, I would love. I mean, I like Acuna stuff, but I don't. I didn't get the new Flash yet, so I don't know.
Pleasantly surprised by that new Flash stuff. I got it yesterday, and I mean, I know I said it on the show before that I wasn't really gonna like it, but I wanted to hate it so much, but I actually kind of liked it. I was really surprised.
Well, I didn't hate his Green Lantern stuff, but I wasn't wowed by it either. It was like, all right, it's not bad, but I would like to see something better. So.
All right, yeah, so I think we've said our piece on that, but we've got other news to talk about, other legal news, well, sort of. The Dabble Brothers have parted ways with Marvel Comics. They're going to be doing stuff on their own. From the looks of things, all of the properties that they actually brought to Marvel Comics are going to remain with Marvel Comics. Kind of an interesting bit of news there, considering the fact that Anita Blake was sort of the center point for Dabble, and, well, now they don't have the comic rights to it anymore. I have my idea of what they're going to be picking up. But first, let's get these guys' takes on that. What's your thoughts, everybody, on the Dabble situation? And we'll start with you, Brett.
I don't know. I did read the Anita Blake hardcover. Uh-huh. I wasn't that impressed because it only told like a little part of the entire story. Mm-hmm. I kind of didn't get what the whole deal was. It just left the story kind of hanging there at the end. Uh-huh. So I wasn't really impressed. Anything else I haven't really read that much, so... You know, and I wasn't buying it in single issues, so I'm really... The news doesn't really interest me.
Okay. Would you see yourself picking up any sort of Dabble Brothers stuff if they do publish stuff under their own name without any other, company helping them out?
No.
Wow. That's how little interested you are in it. All right, well... That's one less reader that they'll get. Raph, what about you?
I think Anita Blake is like supposed to be like this romancy sort of vampire series, so I didn't really care for it. Some of the other stuff, they seem to do a lot of fantasy sci-fi stuff, more fantasy though. I didn't read any of your stuff. I guess if they put out something that I would be interested in, I'll check it out. I think it's a huge leap for them because they're leaving Marvel, which is a huge publisher, and they're going on their own. That means they have to have something really big coming up.
Well,
like immensely big.
I have my idea on it, and I'm sure I'll be wrong, but I think it's Harry Potter. I think that Harry Potter comic books are coming, and they're going to be published by Dabble. And they don't want to share with Marvel, so that would be why that they would break away like this.
Yeah, that sounds like that is a huge franchise, and that would be a great one. I read the Newsarama thing, so it doesn't look like Harry Potter because I mean I read other people's comments. They said, well, you know, Warner Bros. Has the movie rights. I guess they could still get it, but I was also thinking they said if you thought Anita Blake was huge, you haven't seen anything yet. I thought maybe Anne Rice's vampire series.
That could be.
So yeah, whatever it is, I'm a little bit excited to see what they announced though. I mean, I wouldn't, whatever it is, whether I read it or not, I just want to know what was it that they decided to go out on their own after being connected to Marvel and other companies for so long.
I don't think it's going to be a vampire thing though, because
that
I don't know, that just it seems like that they wouldn't want to, you know, trade one for the other like that.
Right.
It would have to be something like big, like something like fantasy or dark fantasy or something like that they haven't had before, like. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be, but maybe like Narnia comics or you know, something along those lines, or, you know, Lord of the Rings comics, but none of that stuff's really going to happen. I doubt it's either of those two properties. One of them's, one of them's Disney, and the other one, Lord of the Rings, they're certainly not going to give comic book rights to anybody on that, because that story's told already. But,
yeah.
I mean, Fred, do you think there's any chance in the world it's going to be Harry Potter?
I don't see why Harry Potter would go with Dabble.
Okay.
Why would you? If J.K. Rowling wants to make even more money than herself in the comics world or something, or she wants to make more money than she's already got, which is a lot. She's richer than the Queen, right?
Pretty much.
Why would you go with Dabble? Why?
Because
you can already strike a deal with DC, Warner Brothers, who does the movies, maybe not under Wildstorm. You could just do it under DC. Or you could go with Marvel, too, if you wanted to be a dick about it. But, I mean, you know, Stephen King's already doing it. He's still holding all the rights to his work.
Yeah.
So, and they'd probably give you a better deal. And I would go with them if I were her, because they're the big names. Me publishing a Harry Potter comic, if I'm the Harry Potter writer, I'm going to go where it's going to get exposure and going to get read.
Well,
you know, a Marvel and DC... Well, a Marvel and DC comic is more likely to get picked up, if it's Harry Potter, in maybe a grocery store, Toys R Us, you know, other places than a Dabble Brothers.
I guess. Yeah, you're right about that. Well, with Dabble, though, you would certainly get, because Dabble is the sort of company that they are, it's possible you might be thinking, well, this will have more artistic merit, because they've dealt with books before, so it seems like they sort of know what the book creators want, as opposed to... Say,
yeah, like creative integrity?
Yes. Creative integrity, that sort of stuff, you probably get more of that out of Dabble than you would with Marvel or DC.
Well, Marvel's doing it with Stephen King by themselves. Why wouldn't DC be able to do it? Or Marvel do it over again?
I'm not saying that they couldn't. It's just that this might be the thinking that's going into, Rowling's head.
But as a marketing thing, if you're doing it to make money, then why wouldn't you? I mean, See, there's the other thing. She said there's not going to be any more Harry Potter novels. Mm-hmm. So why would she let somebody else write Harry Potter comics?
Who says it's going to be somebody else?
I think she's done for Harry Potter. She really seems like she's done.
It's certainly out. Possible, but you said books. You said books right there. So, I mean, comics are not books. They're comic books.
Yes, but then why would she stop writing the novels entirely, though? If she wanted to tell more Harry Potter stories, why would she stop writing the novels?
Well, I mean, again, this is all speculation here, and, you know, for all we know, it could be entirely wrong, but maybe she's just tired of the book medium, and she wants to move on to something with, you know, where she can tell the story with pictures.
Like movies?
Yeah.
She's already done it.
All right.
She could do a TV show of readapting her books again.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking it's more along the lines of, like, an Anne Rice thing.
Okay.
Because Anne Rice is a big-name author, but not big enough that, you know, she can demand shit from Marvel and DC. Well,
I just say that Dabble would not, you know, pull away from Marvel unless it was somebody huge. And I don't really see Anne Rice as somebody huge. She's big, but she's not huge.
Well, she's bigger than Laurel K. Hamilton, that's for sure.
Certainly is. No, certainly is. I'm not denying that. It's just that, I don't know, it would take a lot for somebody to part ways with a huge company like Marvel. You know?
Tolkien Comics, maybe?
No, they wouldn't.
It's possible.
They wouldn't do it.
They have a Hobbit graphic novel out there.
Yeah,
that's
I've seen it in Barnes & Noble.
That's certainly possible. It is certainly possible. But, you know, I mean, we'll find that in about a week, because they said that sometime next week they'll be making the announcement, and they keep saying it's going to be huge. So that's why I wouldn't think it would be Rice, because one more time, she's big, but she's not huge. So
she's not A-list.
Yeah, she's definitely not A-list. She's like A-minus, B, somewhere along those lines. So who knows what will happen there. Let's just get some forum comments in here from the Mike Waringo memories. It was only one or two. So let's get Titans together here. Truer words could not have been said, and that was to my comment that he will be missed, but his art will live on forever. I first discovered Waringo on Fantastic Four with Wade, and his designs were slick. That was some of the best Fantastic Four stuff since Kirby. And who didn't love his Spider-Man? The Friendly Neighborhood stuff he penciled was just fun to look at. And that's Titans Together. Matthew Guy had a comment as well. I really enjoyed his recent work on Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Also, as a Superman fan, I enjoyed his work portraying the Man of Steel in Adventures of Superman. I think next month I will sacrifice a few bucks and pick up the Tomorrow's book, Modern Masters, Volume 9, which I recommend Mike Waringo to know more about the man and his art. He will be missed indeed, and that's Matthew Guy. He wanted to know about the Flash trades, but as I said before, don't know for certain which trades those are in. Just look around and you'll be able to find them. So there's the forum comments on that. Any other comments from you guys you want to make before we get to wrapping this up here?
Oh, I wanted to tell you, I read the first trade of X-Factor.
Really? What'd you think?
I did. I liked it.
Good.
I was really surprised.
Good. I hate to say I told you so, but you know, just like Flash, hate to say I told you so.
Yeah, you missed that part of our conversation. I did like the Flash this week.
Well, good.
Have you read it yet?
Yes, I did. I actually commented on the Flash thread that you commented on the forums and said hate to say I told you so, because. I mean,
yeah, but you were the one that was more skeptical about the art than I was.
Hey. When you said. All right, and I do remember this very clearly from the preview art that they showed in all Flash. I don't really like the way that looks. I said, I kind of do. And you were like, nah, I don't know, man, I don't know. And then here you are, like, in the Acuna art.
Well, so. Before that, you weren't.
No, before that, definitely.
You were saying Green Lantern, I don't know.
Yeah, because again, his Green Lantern work wasn't my cup of tea. But his work looks a hell of a lot better on Flash than on Green Lantern. So, I mean, maybe it's just a fast motion you get with a Flash book over Green Lantern, which is, you know, kind of stagnant at times. But this works a hell of a lot better than his Green Lantern stuff did. I'm really happy. I hope it goes on for a while. I'm sure it will. But, you know, you never know with a book like Flash, and you never know with a creator like Wade. He could move on pretty quickly. Yeah, but that was definitely good stuff for me. Rafa, did you read Flash yet?
No, it's in my DCBS shipment.
Okay, good, yeah. See, that was one of the few books I couldn't put in DCBS. I tried, but I just once I heard that it was going to be Mark Waid again, I'm like, need to pick up immediately. So, yeah.
Yeah, I did it before the announcement, so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I picked up the, I found, my friend picked up Civil War trade, and I looked through it again, just to, and, you know, that Iron Man, bit of a douche.
Really?
No, douchey.
Really now?
Yeah.
This coming from Rap, I would never think so at all.
You know? Iron Man, no douchey, no douchey.
You know, yeah. that Booster Gold, a little shifty.
Little shifty, yeah.
All right, it's getting to be 2 a.m., you can sort of tell. All right, before we wrap this up, we got a promo here from Comics Radar I want to play, so here we go with that.
Wendell, I've been hunting all night. You've just been hanging around. Have you done anything tonight? Oh, I've been reading this comic. It's really good. Oh, yeah? Where did you find that? I used Comics Radar. You used echolocation to find comics? Not my radar. Comics Radar at comicsradar.com. It's a comics podcast that gives news, reviews, and interviews so I can find the best new comics out there. I just download them onto my flypod and listen as I go. A flypod? Don't you need your ears to hunt bugs? Me? Go hunting? Man, haven't you ever heard of takeout? Comics Radar, taking a closer look at comics below the radar. Find it at comicsradar.com or search in iTunes for Comics Radar.
All right, there you go. Comics Radar. Check it out at comicsradar.com. They are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network and always like playing a promo from the Comics Podcast Network. And they played my promo on the most recent episode, so thank you to JM for that. And, yeah, I mean, we are pretty much wrapped up here, so let's find out what these two bozos have been doing in podcasting land recently. We got any BK's Bullets coming up, Brent?
No.
All right, Brent Cassino, ladies and gentlemen.
I have not planned one. I'm waiting for something to pop up to do it on.
Yeah, you can do it on that Booster Gold. He's a little shifty.
I want to know how two guys crossing the border from Mexico got their hands on a fly pod and wireless internet access.
Well, that's a good question. Why don't you ask him?
I will.
All right, then.
Yeah.
We're decided. You can find this guy's previous work at RagingBullets.com, by the way. Who knows if we'll ever have another one again, and it's all up to inspiration, really. The next ones he's going to do are the Bruce Jones run again.
Can we revisit it? Yeah, right.
Yeah, see whether or not you like it better the second time around.
I am supposed to be talking about Blue Beetle with them sometime during episode 50, but that could be weeks or months away, cool. Depending on how many parts it has.
Well, I'm supposed to be part of a Vertigo one eventually, and again, that could be 5 or 6 months down the road. we won't know until much later on what's happening with Sean and Jim. But yeah, again, go check them out at same old place, RagingBullets.com. Raph, what do you got in the pipeline for Geeks Unite?
I'm not 100% sure yet, because all the computer stuff and everything. I really, with 300 coming up in like a month, I really want to get at least an episode or two out before I leave, and I would like to qualify for Podcast Alley at New York Comic Con, bigger and better, for 2008.
Yeah, you know, New York Comic Con is big. Okay, no, we don't have to start doing that yet.
Damn it.
We don't have to start doing
good.
That yet. All right. Once I get into the podcast arena, which will probably be in another month or so, that's when you get to start hearing again. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and still the same.
Are you kidding for 6 months straight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, however I can get in for free is a plus.
Why don't you do it for MegaCon and then you can come down here?
MegaCon is bigger, better, and has... Wait, no. I don't know. Well, if they offer me a, free... like airfare and stuff, I'll go ahead and take that.
All right, I'll work on that.
All right, good, good. You do that. Yeah, ain't gonna happen. I could end up down there though, so that is possible. That's really, really possible. Because I would like to make my way down to a MegaCon eventually. You know, so we could see you in person.
I do want to make it up to New York eventually.
Really?
So I can see you guys in person. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. That'd be awesome.
Imagine that.
Getting a little choked up.
Talking to somebody in person.
I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
You're my best friend.
Whoa. Ooh. Whoa. Wait
a minute. Like super bad? Super bad?
Oh, yeah. Why don't we say that more often, man? I love my best friend. Boop.
Boop.
Yeah, so where can you find your stuff again, Raph?
GeeksUnite.libsyn.com.
Cool. And that's also, what's the other site again?
FreeWebs.com/ComicGeeksUnite.
Kick ass. There you go. All right, so the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We have a phone line for you guys to call now if you want to leave a voicemail for Comic Chiming. Just do so over at 1-888-654-2278. If you're outside the U.S., that would be +1-305-437-8719. Then enter the phone number of 646-496-6848, followed by the PIN 1234, and send me your voice message. It'll be very nice. Specifically, if you guys want to leave a voice message for the upcoming What's Going to Happen in 20 Years, it'd be nice to hear from people on that one. So go ahead and help us out with some love. Speaking of love, please send us a review on iTunes. It'll be graciously appreciated. And please vote for us on Podcast Alley, which is also very well appreciated. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts, which has been put together by Derek Coward of Comic Book Noise. So that's all here for Comic Chiming. I said it was going to be a short episode, and then it ended up long. What a freaking shock. But for Brent and for Raph, I'm Ian Levinson, reminding everybody out there that there's... Go ahead, you can say it, Brent.
There's always time for comics.
All right.
It's 12:04.
Yeah, I know it's 12:04. What you doing, man? What you doing?
Good thing I got nothing to do tomorrow.
Thank you, Jar Jar.
I don't know how that slipped out, but it did.
Misa, you sir, have nothing to do, sir.
I got nothing to do tomorrow, yeah. Go on with that, good. Oh, I can't wait till next.
And on that note.
Oh, boy. All right. He's the guy, Batman.
I want him to say that. Do you know who I am? I'm the goddamn Batman.
And it wouldn't be an episode of Comic Timing without Raph going insane at least once.
You know, I think Christopher Nolan has a little bit more respect for Batman than Frank Miller.
Are you dense? Are you retarded? I'm the goddamn Batman.
All right, that's it. You put it in my head. Michael Caine singing Jingle Bells, Batman Smells is something I need to see.
Oh my god! Let's stop it right here.
Yes, Michael Caine, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells.
Alright, for some reason, you said Michael Caine, I heard Michael Keaton. I don't know why.
Well, congratulations, you at least created the first blooper I can put in the back.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Well, see,
oh, I know.
Marvel keeps
send them to an alien planet.
DCs.
Is they and have him come back pissed off. Book? Oh, wait. Raph,
done. Shut up. God. Hey, see, I can't.
Okay, Raph. Say what you were going to say again, and then Brent can say what he wanted to say. Go, Brent.
What? Me first or Brent first?
No, somebody go first before I can
say
anything.
He said, Raph, go ahead, and then he said, go, Brent. And I can't hear Raph over my talking because he's so low.
Brent, go.
Alright. I said, that's... All right.
And so we go on without you. Well, I think that wraps it up, folks. You know, so remember, the world may be divided, but these geeks are united. See you next time.
I don't know where to... All right,
we're done with Jamal. Where do you want to go next? DC Nation? I don't know. Some guy said, you had Doomsday kill Superman, but Darkseid is an arch enemy. Will you ever have Darkseid kill him? He said, have you read the Final Crisis script?
That was a card I got.
I wonder if Ian's recording this though.
I hope so.
Make some good bloopers. And we got a couple of things going that was pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. Ian. I bet you guys didn't miss me at all.
Oh no, we had a great discussion going.
We had a good 10-minute discussions.
Really? About what?
We went on about the IGO thing and everything.
Well, that kind of means that's gonna get kept in. I bet you guys didn't miss me at all.
Oh no, we had a great discussion going.
We had a good 10-minute discussion.
Really? About what?
We went on about the Eagle thing and everything.
Well, that kind of means that's going to get kept in. All right.
So we're done with Superboy.
Yeah.
Did you finish taking your long shit or something?
Oh, fuck off. Yes, my phone rings and I go to immediately take a shit.